In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Last week's gospel exactly preceded the gospel that we hear today. They're both part of chapter 15 of St. John's gospel, and it's quite evident that the theme for that entire chapter is the theme of love. There are many dimensions to love in the Christian life, and they all center in one way or another on the idea, the virtue, the promise, the goodness of love. Today's gospel centers on one of those parts. The word love is found in those verses that we just heard 9 times in 8 short verses. So it's got to be a major theme for this chapter. And what's happening here is something is unfolding. Something beautiful, because Christ is laying open his heart to his friends, his disciples. I have chosen you, he tells them. You did not choose me. And he repeats, I have loved you. Jesus wants to make it very clear to them that what he's talking about here is a relationship that's very deep. Deep enough to include Jesus and them in the love of God the Father. He wants them to know that the ultimate source of this love that he's expressing for them comes from the Father. As the Father has loved me, he says, so in that same way, I have loved you. Jesus wants to make it very clear to them that what he's talking here about is very deep, is a very loving relationship. Jesus has learned to love them well because he's experienced that depth of love with the Father. He lives in that love with the Father. He depends on that love, and he holds it dear. And because of all that, he can offer that kind of a depth of love to his disciples who now sit before him. What power there is in those words. The message is quite deep. Just previous to this, we remember Jesus said, I am the true vine and you are the branches. So here Jesus is adding more meaning to that vision of the vine and the branches. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. It's that kind of love that enlivens the vine that he is, and that passes on and flows out to the branches. It's no wonder that the next thing Jesus tells us is, abide in my love. Abide. That's a word that we don't really use much in our everyday lives, maybe because most of us don't stay still for very long. Because the sense of abiding gives a steadying power. It helps to think of it as remaining, staying, accepting, holding on to something, but not in a grasping sort of way, more like holding on as if you cherish something, as if you hold it dear. Abiding as an idea suggests that it's not a short-lived concept. It's not the sort of thing that you can abide while you're in church, and when you walk out the door, you're not abiding anymore. It doesn't work like that. The idea of abiding is that it's a continuing sort of experience. It's ongoing. It's meant to be for life. When Jesus says, abide in my love, he wants each of us to pay particular attention to that love, to explore it, to hold it dear, because you can depend on God's love. It's a powerful state of being that of ourselves we can't sustain. It doesn't happen in isolation. And we can't make it happen simply by willing it to happen. Jesus makes it very clear that to abide in God's love, we need to be predisposed to being obedient. If you keep my commandments, Jesus tells us, you will abide in my love. There's the rub. Without keeping God's commandments, we cannot have love, and we cannot remain in that love. So what are the commandments that Jesus is referring to here? A few weeks ago in church school, we talked about the commandments. Only it was interesting, we did not call them the Ten Commandments. Instead, we talked about the 10 best ways to live. And within those 10 best ways, there were three concepts that the children needed to think about at the core of those commandments. One was love God, love neighbor, and don't forget, God loves you. Jesus himself makes it clear that this is the case when he's asked about what is the greatest commandment. He answers, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So essentially, wherever we go in those four Gospels, we hear Jesus talk about God's commands, and it's always, always, always in the context of love. First, we're told what to do. We're told not what not to do, but we're told what we need to do. Love God, love our neighbor, and remember, God loves you. So when we enter this relationship with Jesus and the Father, we need to remember that it hinges on obedience. It seems that in this day and age, obedience isn't something that people admire much. Obedience is for those who are subordinate. And as such, it's seen as a weakness and not necessarily a strength. However, when we look to Jesus, we see that he challenges that notion over and over again. Knowing how we ourselves chafe at the idea of obedience, he keeps giving us his very own example of his obedience. His life is total obedience to the Father. And of course, it's most wonderfully, poignantly shown when he's in the garden the night before he dies. He would rather that the cup pass him by. But the last thing that he says is, your will, not mine, be done. And anyone who knows this story can think of Jesus not in terms of being weak at all, but of being the strongest among us. Jesus obeyed every moment of his life, and he kept in constant connection with his Father through prayer in a loving communion. Even when he was abandoned in the Garden of Gethsemane and on the cross, he remained in obedience to the will of his Father. The cup was not taken away. It was drunk to the bitterest of dregs, and still he obeyed, because he knew that in spite of everything and no matter what else it looked like, his Father loved him And he could obey because he knew that love on a very deep level, and he trusted in it. Which brings us to a question. What's the commandment that we must obey in order to abide in the love of Christ? And Jesus leads us forward to discover that too. Through the love he bears for us, a love that we too can trust in, he urges us to love one another. What matters in the end is how we treat each other. In our reading this morning from the first letter of John, we hear, "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments." So it's a very circular kind of thing. Obedience is what we do because we love, and because we love, we obey. And it continues in that manner. Obedience to God's commandments will yield fruit. The first fruit of abiding in God's love is that we have joy. The joy of knowing we are loved by God in Christ. Not something that's easily earned as an emotion, but it's a state of being. The joy that comes from the conviction that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Nothing at all. Joy comes from obeying the commandment to love, especially in the most trying of circumstances, and then seeing yet another fruit come to bear, the fruit of peace. Jesus tells his disciples, "I've appointed you to go bear fruit. Fruit that will last." A few years after this was said, St. Paul would be the one to list the fruit of the Spirit in his letter to the Galatians. And this was the conclusion of a man who had suffered immeasurably because he loved Christ, a man who was obedient in the face of all kinds of conflict and controversy. And yet, because he knew that he was one with Christ, he could tell us of many of the other fruit that the Spirit would then give us if we too obeyed God through Christ. He talked about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You can't earn these, and you can't try to learn how to do them either, but they can flow from you as a result of your loving obedience to God through Christ. Today's gospel focuses on love and obedience to God's commandments, and as such, they are meant to be lessons for all of Jesus' disciples, including us. We're meant to grow in love just as Paul did, just as we see in our reading today that Peter did. Peter learned something by coming into contact with Cornelius and his family, and he incorporated that into his being. It became part of his obedience to God. When we look at those two pillars of the early church, we see that they both lived in obedience to those commandments. And in their lives, they saw the fruit of that obedience. In the work of the Holy Spirit, it happened right in front of them. They relied on the all-embracing love of Christ, and God gave them strength upon strength to continue to witness to the power of that love. And that's what we're called to do too. And so may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.